Good morning. This is Barry, and today we're talking about the new film Everybody's Fine. This film stars Robert De Niro. De Niro in the film plays a newly widowed dad by the name of Frank, who tracks down his three grown kids, played by Drew Barrymore, Kate Beckinsale, and Sam Rockwell, when they all cancel their trip home for a visit. So Frank decides to set out and actually see his kids himself. The film is directed by Kirk Jones, the director of Waking Ned Divine and Nanny McPhee. Kirk Jones is with us today. Mr. Jones, thank you so much for talking with us this morning.
Good morning. You're very welcome.
Mr. Jones, you, in addition to directing this film, you also wrote it. I've seen this film twice now, and I loved your film. One thing I want to get out of the way is this film is it is a remake of a 1990 film that came out with Marcello Mastroianni. You've made a very different film from the original movie. I just want to clarify that, certainly. In adapting a remake, what was it difficult to decide what needed to go and what needed to stay?
Well, it was a very unusual situation for me, because normally I'm sent film scripts or I develop my own material, but on this occasion I was sent a DVD of a completed movie by Giuseppe Tornatore, which was made about 20 years ago now. So it was a real pleasure for me to sit down and watch a finished movie. Within about 5 minutes or so, I realized that I completely connected with the film and with the themes, and I could see that I was going to be very interested in adapting it. But when I came to that process, I decided to watch the film. I think I only watched it three times, and then completely walked away from it. You know, understanding the story, understanding the characters, I decided to then make a fresh start and make a film which felt as if it was my film, rather than just translating the original. And I'm sure that's what Giuseppe, the original writer and director, would have expected from me as well.
Has Giuseppe seen your version of Everybody's Fine?
I don't believe he has. I had a message from him to say that he was going to wait until it was released. It's released in the US on the 4th of December, and that he was going to just attend a regular screening with a regular audience. I think the message I got was that he was looking forward to the experience, and he thought it would be similar to revisiting a house that, where he used to live, but accepting that it now had a new owner who may have changed it.
Wonderful. You mentioned before that you went on a journey, just like Frank's in the movie, where you took trains and you took buses across America. What was that experience like for you?
It was, I mean, outside of anything related to this film, just as a human being, it was just a great trip for me to take a three-week trip across America. But I knew it was a very important part of the process. I work and I am based in the UK. This was very much my first American film. So I wanted to get it right. I wanted to research the topic properly. And I thought the only way I could do that was actually take a trip across America. So I took a flight to New York. I went across to Pittsburgh and Cincinnati and Denver and through the Red Rock Canyons and deserts and ended up in Las Vegas. And I traveled on Greyhound buses and Amtrak trains and stayed in the cheapest motels that I could find. A journey that was very similar to Robert De Niro's character in the film, and it was a real inspiration to me. Not only did it inspire ideas which were later included in the film, but it just really allowed me to get under the skin of a country which I thought I knew, because I, you know, visited a number of times, you know, New York and Chicago and LA, but actually I realized that you know, I hadn't really taken the time to travel across the country and understand it properly.
You get such a warm and moving performance out of Robert De Niro in this film. Was he your only choice for the role, and what was it like working with him?
He was my only choice. I very rarely write for actors, because I know the industry well enough to know that if you fall in love with an actor when you're writing, the chances are, for whatever reason, you'll never get them. So, you know, but there comes a point when you're close to the end of the script and people are interested in financing, and everyone says, well, who do you want to play the lead? And for me, there was no question that he would be right for this role. A number of people have said, you know, was I not concerned about the fact that some of the characters he played in the past were, you know, more famously known for being quite edgy and aggressive and violent? And I said, not at all, because what interested me about him was that, you know, he was a guy in his early 60s who was a father of five children. And I know how important his family is to him, and I knew that he would be able to draw on his experiences of a father and relate to this script perfectly. And I've also respected his acting over the years, you know, for being so minimal, just underplaying scenes. And there are a lot of very emotional scenes in this film, and I knew that De Niro would be able to treat them with respect and not overact and affect the balance of the film.
You get such relaxed and wonderfully underplayed performances in this film from Sam Rockwell, Drew Barrymore, and Kate Beckinsale playing his children. Was there a lot of rehearsal? Was there a lot of improvisation?
Not too much. I mean, I really like to create an atmosphere on set which is very relaxed, very unstressful. You know, I like to have fun on set, but I like to trust that everyone will still be completely focused. I don't enjoy passing on any concerns or stress related to production that's worrying me to the cast or to the crew. I think it's the director's responsibility to keep that to themselves and to try and create an atmosphere on set where people are relaxed enough to be able to do their best work. And that's kind of always been my principle, and hopefully that's how I'll carry on working. And that kind of, I'm sure that rubs off on the cast. You know, if they're relaxed and if they're confident in what they're doing, then that hopefully comes across on screen.
Hmm. There are a number of moments in the film that felt so organic. I wanted to ask you about a few of them specifically because they felt like they felt like they couldn't have been scripted, although I'm sure most of them were. There's a moment in the film where De Niro playing Frank, he's looking at a highway grave marker, and it felt, I should just ask it in the form of a question. Was this scripted? Was this something that you found while you're in the middle of filming?
No, it was very much scripted. I wanted to drop in just some themes of loss and of family and of, you know, just relationships between parents and children, and just touch on some of parents' kind of greatest fears, you know, for their children. And I've always noticed kind of roadside shrines, you know, wherever I am in the world. Some parts of the world they're more popular than others, but they just seem ultimately so sad to me when you actually take the time to look at them. You can see how much a person was loved and cared for. And it's very clear that, you know, they were lost in a sudden kind of tragic accident. And that's just one of the details that I wanted to include in Frank's road trip, because as I traveled across America, I saw a number of shrines, and I felt like it was an important image to include in the film.
Another technique that you include in the movie, and I absolutely love, is where you basically, for a moment, you see Frank's children the way he sees them, as children before he sees them in their adult forms. First of all, I want to thank you for that, sir, because it made me understand my parents much better having seen that technical device that you do in the film. It's absolutely wonderful. Was it difficult to sometimes get the timing of that?
It was, actually. I should give Giuseppe credit for that, because that was something that was in the original movie and I thought worked really well, and I wanted to retain it. I think I'd probably develop it a little bit more. And in my version, there's a bigger scene towards the end of the movie where Frank has the opportunity to talk to his younger children as they were. But it was difficult. I wasn't sure how much I was going to include in the final cut, so I actually shot a lot more material involving the children. But it suddenly struck me that, you know, what I really needed to do was to keep it to a minimum. It was almost a subliminal kind of thing. And, you know, I have children of my own, and I know that sometimes just for a second I look at them and they'll say something or they'll behave in a way which makes me remember, you know, how they were when they were 3 years old. And I think anyone who's a parent can relate to that sense of, you know, being with a child for all of their life and seeing them grow, but on occasions remembering exactly how they used to be and how they used to behave.
Hmm. This is a very silly question, but I have to ask this because I'm very curious. There's a moment in the film, late in the film, and I won't give anything away, where Drew Barrymore and Robert De Niro are watching over a baby. You have a quick moment where you capture the baby while it's making this goofy sucking motion with its mouth, and it always gets a big laugh whenever I see it in the theater. Did you find a baby that could do this, or was this a happy accident?
No, it's quite a natural instinct of babies. If they're used to kind of feeding, then often when they sleep, sometimes the lips make the motion as if they are still feeding. I guess maybe they're dreaming and they're still feeding. And we were just shooting a baby. I wanted to see the baby asleep, and it was naturally asleep. But while we were filming it, it started to kind of make these kind of sucking motions with its lips. And in the film, I use that in conjunction with Robert De Niro pouring a glass of wine in the same room, and it did create quite a humorous moment, which I think people are appreciating.
Yeah. It's been about 11 years now since Waking Ned Divine. What's the first thing that comes to mind when you think back to your film?
When I think back to Waking Ned Divine?
Mm-hmm.
It was just the most wonderful experience. You know, the whole shoot, the crew, the actors, Ian Bannon and David Kelly, who I work with, who were the stars of the film. You know, making a very small, very cheap British movie, and then seeing it work so well around the world and picking up awards. And, you know, I come to the US now and people say, what do you do? And I say, well, I make films. Oh, which films? And I mention that film and they still go absolutely nuts. And it amazes me that people remember it and still kind of cherish it. I think in the world that year, proportionate to its budget, it was the second highest grossing film in the world behind the Blair Witch Project, which was obviously a low budget production, which did very well. So I'm very proud of that, and I'm, you know, very proud of the fact that people still remember it with such fondness.
Well, another film you did that was quite successful in America, but a monster success worldwide was Nanny McPhee. What an interesting follow-up film after Waking Ned Divine. Was that a purpose, conscious choice to do something completely different, or was it just the material just so enchanting?
Yeah, it was. I mean, I met with Emma Thompson, who'd written that script, and I respected her as an actress and as a writer, and I figured that, you know, it would be an opportunity to learn something from her. You know, I had a huge amount of respect for her, and I felt like it was time that I did my first studio picture, and it was in the UK, and I really responded to the material as well. And again, I was thrilled with how that turned out, and very fortunate, you know, that people are still contacting me saying how much they appreciate it and how much the children appreciate it.
Do you have a favorite Christmas movie?
I do, and it's an obvious one, and it's A Wonderful Life. It's A Wonderful Life. It just seems the most perfect of movies. You know, the spirit of Christmas is completely installed in the film, but also, you know, the bigger message of the contribution that all of us can make and the huge changes that we can make to other people and to the lives of people around us, you know, by doing very, very small things. It just seems timeless. Like, I can never imagine, or I hope there's never a time in the history of this planet where people won't be able to sit down and watch that movie and take away something positive from it.
If I were to look at your three films, or specifically if I were to look at Waking Ned Divine and Everybody's Fine, if I were to look for a common theme of Kirk Jones' film, the thing that obviously jumps out of me, and I'm sure jumps out of many people, is you have a real sensitivity for people who are getting old or elderly, or for people who are very retrospective and looking back at their life. Is this a particular theme that particularly interests you, or is this something that is? Am I just making ants out of a molehill? is there a constant theme here, or?
No, I cannot argue with that as a theme. I mean, all I can say is that it's not necessarily intentional. I don't really set out with that as a goal. But I am intrigued by people who are older than me and inherently more, you know, who are wiser than me. And I like spending time with people who I can learn from, I guess. You know, I definitely learned from Robert De Niro on this movie, and I definitely learned things from the guys who I work with on Waking Ned Divine, and I'm just interested in putting faces on screens which help to tell a story. And you look at De Niro's face on the big screen, and I don't think there's any face that's physically more capable of telling a story without doing very little. And I like faces that have a lot of character. It's not uncommon these days for actors of a certain age to kind of explore, you know, changing their physical appearance to try and remain young and look more perfect. But actually what really interests me are people who age gracefully and, you know, who you can see in their faces the experiences that they've had in their lives. So, you know, whether it's a theme that I'll continue with, I'm not sure. What I do know is that I would love to work with Robert De Niro again, and we're both looking for a project that we could work together on. So, you know, it was a very enjoyable experience working with him.
Is it too early to ask what's next?
You can ask what's next, and I wish I could tell you, but I don't know. I'm starting to write a couple of projects, which I hope Robert De Niro will be involved in. But I'm also reading, and I'm keeping an eye out for any scripts which are submitted to me, which I haven't written, because I realise that if I want to make more films, and I should be doing that, I've only made 3 films in the last 10 years, and I'd like to be making films more often, then I need to open up to the idea of working on other people's scripts as well.
Is there a particular book or property that is a dream project for you that you've always wanted to take on?
Not necessarily. I found that my inspiration doesn't necessarily come from books. I'm not a big reader. I wish I was, but I tend to get inspiration. You know, Waking the Divine was a newspaper cutting many years ago, based on a true story, which inspired me. Everybody's Fine was obviously a remake of another film, and that inspired me. So I like to look at less obvious sources for inspiration. You know, newspapers and magazines are a really good sense of inspiration. You buy a single newspaper for $1, and you know, you can find 100 stories in there that day, which could potentially turn into a movie. So I like to look for unusual sources of material, rather than just obviously going for novels.
Well, I eagerly wait to see what you do next, sir. But for now, Everybody's Fine is one of the best films I've seen this holiday season. I can't think of a better film for families to go out and see when it opens nationwide on December 4th. This is an excellent choice for the holiday season, and I recommend everybody go out and see this. The director is Kirk Jones. Kirk Jones, thank you so much for speaking with us this morning.
Thank you, Barry. Take care.
Thank you. You too, sir.